We are at Rishnim Gimel Sif Zayin, and the Beis Yosef raises an interesting shayla here. It's coming off of a Rashba, okay, which is really page Nun Gimel.
We're back in the Torah.
Page Nun Gimel, yeah, back in the Torah. So the topic is if all of a sudden the thing is not needed that you raise money for. So he's making reference to really the previous Sif. I'm on Nun Gimel. What about that for you? What are you guys on? That looks right.
There's a Vav.
Where's the Zayin?
There's a Zion right in the middle, and above is on top.
Above is on the first line.
Yeah. And there's a Zion right under where the lines become wide.
We don't have that.
But the next page starts Ches. So, I don't
know. So it's mixed together, probably.
What's the first word?
Is the first word?
So the first word on the line is Kasav HaRashba.
Yes.
So Kasav HaRashba. So there's money that was gathered in order to do Pidyon Shvuyin, to redeem a captive. And then the Shavui died. It sounds like before they were able to be... Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah. Achelo Niftan, before the Pidyon took place. So Dover Baruhu Shekol Shel Yorshim. Dover Baruhu Shel Yorshim. Right, it's clear that what do you do with all that money that was collected? You give it to the next of kin. That's what the Rashba says.
Of the
one who was captured, yeah. Okay. Right, how do you know that? So, Mimas Nisan Deshkalim, from the Mishnah in Shkalim, the Mishas Govaina Zachalo Gabai. From time of collecting, the Gabai has it, and or the Gabai is Zoche it to the people. So what Mishnah is he talking about? So that Mishnah was quoted on the top of that page, on top of this page in the Beis Yosef. See that? Just take a quick glance up. The top line, where it's quoting from Yerushalmi, Mishnah Besov, the Beis Yosef quotes this Yerushalmi, Mishnah Besov Perek Beis Dishkalim, U'misayayim ba mutter mesim lemesim, that the leftovers for the mesim goes to the mesim, and mutter harmes liyorshav, and the mutter that goes to whatever was raised for the dead, liyorshav goes to the next of kin. I'm not really sure why the Torah seems to have left that out. That's what the Beis Yosef writes. So there is this Mishnah slash Gemara at the that just quotes the Mishnah. The Yerushalmi itself is quoted here in the Beis Yosef here, right? And that's what the Rashba seems to be going off of. That if there's money raised for somebody and then that person dies, so it's okay. They it gets passed on. It's whatever is left over, they keep for what they need. So that's the Rashba. So the Rush was the Chavrusa of the Rashba. Seems like they're not talking about the same case. So Rush Kasav Etshuva Klal Lama Beis Simin Vav Al Odus Hashvuya. On this case, there's a case of this Shvuya. It sounds like a woman captive. Asher Kasafta Shezachta He Ubaneh Bemos Shenignivu Letzorach Pidyona. That which you wrote that this Shvuya, that this woman captive will get the money that was raised. The money that was raised for her will go to her and to her children. That which was collected for her redemption. So that should go to her. So v'dimisa oso lemosar shavoy, right? And it should be compared to the extra amount raised for a shavoy. Loso shavoy, for that person who, that should go to that shavoy, to that one who was, who it should go for. So it says v'eini nira v'einai, but I don't agree, says the Rush, right? Hadidamei mosar shavoy loso shavoy, that it should go in that way. Where we say that it goes to that shavoy, hainu heicha shenasis ha-mitzvah shenigva mamun b'shvila. That's where the mitzvah got done, which you collected the money on their behalf. U'mashotiru ha-misnadvim yoter michtei pidyona. And there was more money raised in order to do the pidyon ha-ben than actually got, than was necessary. Meaning, you know, they went to redeem the captive, and it happened to be that there was a going out of business sale. So the captives were willing to unload this person for much less money. So now what do you do with extra money? So she keeps it. So Zachman, so she gets to keep it. Hashavu. Right? Was raised for her benefit. But in this case, now we see a little bit more clearly what the case is. Right? This woman who they raised for, apparently she got absorbed within the Gayim, meaning she liked her new environment and said, I'm sticking around. So the family said, okay, fine. Well, if we're not going to do it to be poda her, she didn't want to be poda apparently. So the family says, well, if you're not going to give it to her, give it to us. So they say no. So vade lo zach sabah mos, she's not dula pidyon. Then they don't get the money. V'lo yisku b'nei achra, nor do the children get it. The adaita d'hachi lo yisnadvu. But it's not that when the money wasn't raised to give to the children whose mother is now, whatever you call such a person, I don't know, is now a permanent captive, but rather it was raised to redeem her, and then if there's extra money, so then they get to keep it. So aga atzvacha hadamin motar hames liyorsh, and that which they say, that the extra amount that was raised for the dead goes to the children, so chola, that's talking about a chola, shai goseis upasku lotzdaka, somebody who was sick, and they raised money to help that person, tzorach aron v'tachrichon, for the benefit of the necessities after death, v'kavura, v'nisrafa, and they got better, v'chimala al daischa shetinasein lo hatzdaka, v'alho lo amru ela mosar hames, right, were these people really collecting tzdaka for this family? No, they were collecting money to help with the dead person. If there's no dead person, they weren't intending on giving that money. Similarly in this case, kilu mesa hashvuyit, as if the shvuya died. Below niftis, and was never opposed it. The mali mesa mali nishtamda. Because what difference does it make whether she died or that she became mishumedness, that she rebelled, that she's now gone. Sehilkach lo zachsa behem hashvuyit. So therefore, she doesn't merit the money, and her children aren't going to merit the money. And then, so what do you do with this money? Now you got this money that was collected. So if it's possible to return to each individual, that would be the good thing. That would be the correct and right thing to do. He's not v'litzorach pidyon. It was collected for the pidyon. V'lo yatsu mirishusam ad she tifte. And therefore, it doesn't really leave their, like they're, it's like they're appointing shulchan. And therefore, it doesn't leave their possession until you actually do a pidyon. But that's not possible. I mean, to go back and give money to all the people that gave it, that's not going to be possible. Ki yotzi yosir mina karen. Because it's going to, I'm not sure what this means, it's going to cost more than the principal to return to each one. Maybe there were like expenses along the way. Yeah. So mashinasan. Hilkach yasu behem tzorchi rabim. Therefore, what should you do with it? Public works. Biyosir tofu lepidyon shvuyin. And that would be better than pidyon shvuyin kasher amru ka'akal via karen kayim imtucha liftos ba'achris yamim osa shvuy shetiftabo. Biyosir tofu, the best thing would be is to save it for another case of pidyon shvuyin. Meaning put it in the bank and let it sit until there's another captive, in which case we'll have the money raised for it. B'garsin b'yushami d'shkalim al masnisin d'motor aniyim la'aniyim motor shvuyim l'shvuyim, right? V'ein m'machin b'yad ha'parnesim. That the extra money goes and doesn't stay with the parnasim. Kolomer imro sheish tzorach shav rotzul l'shanos harshus biyadam. Ve'im mamachin biyad haparnasim. That's what the Yerushalmi says. That the money raised for the poor people go to the poor, and poor for the shvuyim goes to the shvuyim. But we don't rebel against the parnasim, or we don't rebuke the parnasim. The gabayt staka. What does that mean? Kolomer imro sheish tzorach shav rotzul l'shanos harshus biyadam. If they see some kind of pressing need and they want to change it, they have the right to do so. This appears in Chushan Mishpat as well. So that is the that seems at first glance to be the Rashba and the Rush. I think about trying to find out. I'm not sure they're talking about the same case though. I mean, I'm not sure the Rashba would ultimately disagree with the Rush on this psak.
Well, if we try to summarize it, so when do they keep the money and when do they? When does the captive?
So it sounds like you keep the principle that the Rush develops is if you accomplish that mitzvah, I mean, it was raised for a certain purpose, and now there is extra money, right, from when the purpose was done. So then the family gets it. I mean, it's, what the lumdus is? The lumdus sounds like if it was raised for a certain goal, so the family gets all the money that was raised for that goal. Now there's more money. Okay, it's in the possession of the family now. But if that goal never actually got done, if you never actually got the first base as to what this stuff was raised for, so then the family doesn't get it.
So if the guy dies in captivity, originally...
That's this case. Right, so that's what the Rashba said.
Or the woman becomes...
Mishumedes, right.
If the guy dies, yeah. If the guy dies, we said the family does get it, right?
No, that's what the Rashba wrote, and the Rush disagreed.
The Rush disagreed.
Right. Okay. Now...
we don't know what...
Now would they... Yeah. The Gabe has it, and then it sounds like they get to keep it. Now, yeah, and then the Rashi, at least in the Mishumedes case, it wouldn't apply. I guess they would have a machlokas about the person who died. Yeah, so that machlokas actually does appear in Shulchan Aruch here. So if you go to Shulchan Aruch, you might go back. Okay, so
we're in Shulchan Aruch.
So in Shulchan Aruch, yeah, Reish Nun Gimel Siv Zayin. So is Reish Nun Gimel Siv Zayin. So he says over there. So most shagavu lepidyon shavui. So the money was raised for the to be poda a captive. Umeis koner shenifta, and the person died. I mean, the captive died before the pidyon took place. So yesh misha omer shehim shel yorshim. So those that say that the yorshim should get it. So it sounds like so that's the Rashba. The yesh misha omer shelo zachu behem yorshim, that the yorshim don't get it. V'lazeh das nota b'zmanazeh. And that's the way we paskin today. Damdinan dasaihu shelo hisnadvu al das kain shelo, that because it wasn't collected for this purpose. So besides the fact that the Machaber himself takes a stand, it's also an example of a yesh v'yesh in Shulchan Aruch. And I think when we have a yesh v'yesh, we follow the second yesh. When it says some say like this and some say like this, we follow the second one. But anyways, the Machaber says that explicitly. And apparently, in Choshen Mishpat, where this is quoted, he doesn't even quote the Rash. He only quotes the opinion of the Rash. So Bismarck said, "Damdin and Datayi Shalitam Val Daskin." But who adin le nitma? Similarly, it would be if it was nitma. I'm sure what that word. I looked it up. So like mixed beyond recognition was the Jastro definition. All right, nitman v'nevad kiva hashemesh. I'm not sure what that was referring to. How you read that perish there, but hashavu ben ovdichav mekodem shenifta.
Nitman means hidden.
Yeah.
So she's hidden and lost.
Right. I mean, lost amongst the shavuim. So. Well, that would be the same thing. Cain, that would be the same halacha, that they wouldn't be able to, the family wouldn't be able to make claims on that money. Continues the Ramah and says, right, v'huadin im neder echad liyisum amos lahasiya. Similarly, if somebody gave money or promised money to a orphan to get her married, umesa, she died, the lo zachu behem yorshim, that the yorshim would not get it. Now, I'm not sure what yorshim there are of the yisoma, is the yisoma, right? So I'm not sure who. That's the case.
Yeah,
so, right. So long as she is alive, right? Heim shel yisoma, it would belong to her. But tzarich lasei slamyani, she give it right away. You don't have to wait for her to get married. Ve'im mesa hamos chozrim. If she dies, so then the money would go back, and then see choshen mishpat v'yesh cholkim. There are those that disagree with this. Okay, so.
So we have one that says that the Yorshim get it, and the second Yesh says they don't get it, so we go according to the second Yesh.
That's in the Mechaber. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's for sure. And then the Ramah has this case about collecting money. If you promise money for an orphan for her to get married, and she doesn't get married, she dies before she has a chance to get married. So similarly, she would not get access to that money. But, she's dead. But her Yorshim, I'm not sure who her Yorshim are. I mean, who that's talking about. Right. Or whatever her line of inheritance would be, so they wouldn't get access to that money. But it could go to her right away, meaning it makes sense to give her the money earlier. It sounds like he's what he's advocating. But if she doesn't actually go through on what you raised the money for, so if you're to get married, so then it would need to go back. So the Pisrei Tshuva here on the bottom in Gimel, when he said, "I am b'sefer b'nei ahuva, perachah feizvilchas ishas v'nei kashish shekasta de'imesa achar shehisia kuli alma modim," that he quotes from this perachah feizvilchas ishas locha beis, right? "V'nei kashish shekasta de'imesa achar shehisia," that if she dies after she got married, kuli alma modim shezachu behem ayorshim, the yorshim do get it. "V'chein kasta amasis b'nyamim lehedya v'kasha ha'havei k'nedunyas chasanim l'rabbeinu tam." The Yachol Lomar Lo Hasnisi El Amanas Shetena Bitis Bo. He says, "Wait a second. Why is this? I mean, what happens here? That if she dies after she gets married, everybody agrees that her Yorshim get it. But what's the question? If that's the case, it's like her Nedunya, right?"
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what's Nedunya again?
The Nedunya is a dowry. Right. So this should be like the dowry, like a regular dowry of Hassan. I mean, she got married. This is the money that's coming in with her into the marriage. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Yachol Lomar Lo Hisnisi Ela Menashe Tena Bitizu, which according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have an ability to say that that I'm only giving this money that my daughter will benefit from it. Sounds like you could pull out of the Nedunya, some kind of clause to pull out of the Nedunya. So, but Tzarech Lomer, so he answers Dafka Ba'avinos. That's only if the father would give, but not necessarily if other people would give. Right? And you, yeah. Okay. Fine. That's my question. Yeah. Fine. Okay. So that's Zion. Okay. And then the end here.
So in this one, it's if she got married already, she can't keep it.
If she got married, she would keep it. Well, it would go down the right, and it would go to the Yorshim, whatever the Yorshim path is. Normally, the husband would get it. Correct. But there are for second marriages examples of like people have the you could make a tenai on it that this will this is I forget the term of it I forgot the term but for a second marriage people can give. I mean, people are—they don't want to give a large. That's the case. A person, if a woman gets married and she has children already, that's the case. So you want to keep. So they don't want to give her entire ksuva over because then the husband will just take it all for himself and her children only get a small portion of it. So there is a way of directing your nedunya to stay within your own family. Maybe that's what they're referring to here. But okay, fine. But it does these things, let's say family, I mean, the case I was thinking of is that money is raised for a kala, and then the engagement gets broken off, right? So what happens to all the money that was collected?
Yeah, before the wedding, it's different probably than afterward.
Well, after the wedding, the expenses took place. The money, there's no more money left at that point. Yeah. But before the money took place, so what happens to money raised at that point? That would fall under this halacha. And she can't turn around and say, oh, but all that money, please give it to me, and I'll, use it for a nice vacation instead.
It's a big thing there, because they have to, write some kind of, I'm not sure this is totally made up, they have to have some kind of agreement.
No, shtar mechila. Yeah, sure. Right. There was the headlines podcast a couple of weeks ago that covered the
that
issue
real?
Of broken engagements.
Is this something you're supposed
thing.
To have to? Yeah. Who's giving who the shtar
mechila? I think they both sign a shtar mechila, meaning the somebody should oversee that they both sign this agreement to each other. They're available. You can get one. A friend of mine. I think did this for Shabbos Shuvah Drasha this year. When I was trying to think of a topic a couple of weeks before, he sent me his material on it. So he wanted to use the term, the idea of mechila is not a old term; it's a newer term. That's where he went with it.
So what do you mean that something that you signed before them?
No, if there's an engagement that gets broken up, so that's part of what should take place.
No question. What happens to the engagement ring?
Right, but what happens to those?
But it's something tangible. It can be sold and.
Sure, but who gets it?
Who takes the loss?
I get it.
What?
If the engagement falls through, that's a big question.
I don't know.
Of course you don't know. That's
but people didn't used to have to do that. I mean, or is that something that people just... That
no,
people
no,
people
this...
Going to the
well,
I mean,
well it
I,
didn't... With the Shtar Mechila thing?
Yeah, I never heard of it until recently. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been around...
These have been around for centuries, but also engagement was a bigger deal. Engagement included Tanayim. Engagement included that people made the conditions that we're going to do this, and there's and in the Tanayim, there's a klal involved. That's where this came about from. There's a curse on anybody who breaks these engagements. So the point that there's a discussion of maybe it's better to get married and get divorced 5 days later than it is to make an engagement, because that carries with it this klala, it carries with it this curse that's on the books. So if you look at real tanaim, if you look at my tanaim, because for my wedding I was in Borough Park and I think where I bought my talus, and I said, hey, I need tanaim. So I said, okay, he reached out back and he gave me this tanaim. And I show up at the wedding with this tanaim. And Reb Schefter takes out his pen and starts crossing out a half of it. as it was Hasidish Tanai, and that included, you know, the father's going to bring this, and the mother, you know, and each side is going to give this amount of money, and all these things, which are not in our, and it includes actually a line for the Kala to sign. Which is specifically not in our Tanai. In fact, Rabbi Bleich, when he learned Isha, suggested that we use Rav Moshe's text, and he said the one big thing that Rav Moshe did is that he took out the wife's signature from the Tanayim. Why? Because there is an idea of that before a wedding, it's assumed that a woman, even if a woman hasn't had her period in many years, it's assumed that she does, and therefore she has to go to a mikveh no matter what. So this is like if people get married when they're older, so one says, oh yeah, I haven't had a period in 20 years. He says, no, they still have to go to the mikveh beforehand. So at what point is that? Dam chimud is what it's called. So what point is that? So the way the Rishonim discuss it is, oh, she gets it at the signing of the Tanayim, which maybe is, which they're really referring to a couple months earlier. Yeah, but that's one of the shitas in the Tanayim. So Rabbi said, that's where Rav Moshe took it out, because like, all of a sudden you're signing Tanayim at the wedding, that's sort of going to be a problem. But you know, nobody has a picture of Kala's signing anything at their weddings, except for me. At our wedding, we have the Rosh Hashanah sent two guys to get Chava to sign something, and we have the photographer followed them. We have pictures of Chava signing her Tanayim.
Just cross out stuff. That seems very... I mean, if you cross out stuff, how do you know whether it was crossed out before?
Right, so you're supposed to sign off. So in Ksuvos, this happens, and you're supposed to sign off. You're supposed to, what you call, initial the cross outs. Okay. Yeah. All right, so anyway, so that's Sif Zayin. So Sif Ches. So Ani Shenasan Pruta Letzdaka Makalim Menuvim Lo Nasan Im Chayven Osolitin. This is, we've covered this actually before. A poor person who wants to give a Pruta will take it from them. If they don't give, we don't obligate them to give. Litin Nasnu Lo Begadim Chadashim Hichsir HaYishanim Makalim Menuvim Lo Hichsir Im Chayven Osolitin. If we give them new clothing, they return the old ones. And they return the old ones, we would take it back from them. But if not, we're not going to obligate them. Poor people get to keep. Okay. Tess. Ani she'ena rotza likach tzedakah. Let's say a poor person doesn't want to take tzedakah. So marimin v'nosin lo. We trick him and give it to them. How do we do that? V'nosin lo l'shem matana. O l'shem halva. We give it to them as a gift or as a halva. So we're running a little short on time, so I'm going to just do this outside. But the Gemara, this is based on a Gemara Maseches Ksuvos that is quoted in the Beis Yosef, where that's the suggestion that he has, that he should offer it as a present. You should tell them, no, this isn't tzedakah, it's just a gift. They say, come on, I know you, this isn't just a gift, you never given me a gift before. So I say, fine, it's a loan. So the Gemara actually continues on and says, and let's say, yeah, I'm not taking a loan from you, this isn't a real loan, you're not going to, so he says, fine, give us a mashkum. So that's what the Gemara suggests. So give us a collateral, and that way we'll demonstrate it's a loan. So the guy's going to turn around and say, well, if I had a mashkun, I wouldn't have to be, I wouldn't need a loan. So that's what Rashi explains. So Rashi says, yeah, that's what you're supposed to happen. I mean, the guy's going to say, but he'll recognize it as being a real loan, plus you're demanding a mashkun. Then the guy says, well, I can't give you one. So he says, fine, we'll take without a mashkun. And then the person might be willing to take that money to be able to use for, to be able to use for stuff. Next, Sif Yud. So Ashir Hamariv Atzmo Ve'enu Tzaramona. This is obviously a touchy subject here. A wealthy person who is like starving themselves, Ve'enu Tzaramona, and they won't use their own money. So they don't want to use their own money because they don't want to eat their own, they want to use up their own money. So now they're asking for money, they don't need it. So in mashkichim, so that's the shulchan. That's what we paskin. We don't pay them any attention. Now this is obviously a touchy issue here. There it is. What?
You got to get him help.
Right,
but not monetary help.
Right. So one thing that that he points out here in the Pesachim Mitzvos is that. I wanted to go on the previous. Oh, that's the previous one. Remind me to go back and mention something on the previous if. But this idea that we're not going to listen, he says, first of all, it's only for him. But if there's family involved, so then you would give it to him. No, that wasn't it. I thought there was a line here that if there are children, so then children you would give them. Plus, why should the children suffer? But he does point out here, Kol Chametz Sefer Chasim, she nasa ani al yedei. Right. I said, first of all, it's only if he's really a wealthy person. But if he's a wealthy person that lost his money, so he's no longer a wealthy person, you would give him money. However, he says, there's a Sefer Chasidim that says, Shinasa ani al yedei maisev harayim. If he became a poor person because of bad things he did, or, you should keep this in mind for your Vegas trip this week, Oshasacha pekuvia, or he gambled it away. So, ein latet lo tzedakah. So then we don't give him tzedakah. However, he says, V'nirish tzedakah im yish kashash al yedei tzedakah yamshich l'sacha pekuvia. He says, that's only if, by doing so, he's just going to go back and gamble it away. But if he's not going to go back and gamble it away, so then, meaning if he's now, he's on recovery and he needs the money, so then you would give him that money. He points out that this is what the Sefer Hasidim says. It says, why wouldn't you give money to a person who lost their money that way? Because you're assisting in Ovdei Avera. You're assisting somebody who's violating the halacha. I mean, the assumption is going to continue to violate the halacha. But if he now is no longer going to violate the halacha, and of course you would need to figure out a way to ascertain that, so then you would go back and he would be entitled to tzedakah, even if his debts and problems came about through the gambling.
You're saying that there's a halacha against gambling.
What?
You're saying there's a halacha not to gamble.
Halacha,
no.
Can't lose.
Yeah, right. If you win, it's okay.
Really?
Well, no, this is a halacha tzedakah issue. I mean, this is concerning. A guy who lost their money...
Using tzedakah for gambling would be violating the halacha. You just read something.
No. This is if a person lost their money because of gambling, or right. A person lost their money because of drinking, a person lost their money because of bad life decisions.
Okay.
So then the Sefer HaSidim says, sounds like he's saying you wouldn't give him tzedakah money. I mean, it's his problem.
Right.
So the footnote here points out, I don't look at the Sefer HaSidim himself, but the language of the Sefer HaSidim is because you can't be misayeya yidei aver, you can't help a person continue these bad activities. But if the case is different, but the assumption is, what's he going to do with the money you give him? He's going to go back and gamble more. But if he's already, or if he's a recovering addict, if he's a recovering gambler, and he's, now you have to ascertain that he's really not going to, but somehow you can ascertain that. So then then he's considered an ani like anybody else. I mean, when he's knocked out from being an ani is when he's still involved in these activities. If he's no longer going to be involved in these activities, so then he can reclaim his tzedakah collecting privileges. That line about the children is in the next section, but he also adds in an important idea, and that is, what about if he can get a job? Right, the case in Shulchan Aruch is he's a wealthy guy, he has the money, he doesn't want to spend it. So what about if it's not that he has the money, but he just doesn't feel like getting a job? So this is from the Mahar Shtam. He says, Shekalza af mi she'in lo mos biyado, even if he doesn't have any money, aval yachlis parnis makom acher, but he can get the money from someplace else, from working, or from some job, or whatever. She'in chiyav lasis lo tzedakah. So also you're not obligated to him tzedakah. But if everybody who could earn money decides instead to collect tzedakah, right, you're not going to have any money left to give the people who really needs it. And he adds in here, and these kinds of things. You have to check very well in order to ascertain what the mitzvah is in each particular case. I wanted to go to the previous. We have a couple more minutes left. Just in the previous sif ches, the idea of the ani who refuses to accept money. So in Reishnun Hay Sif Beis, if you look ahead, it says Kol Mi Reishnun Hay Sif Beis. So for me, it's on the same page, but for you, on the next page, it says Kol Mi She'enu Tzarich Litol Me Etzdaka Umarama Am Venotel Enu Meis Ad She Tzarich Lebrios. Sorry, next line. V'Chol Mi She'tzarich Litol Ve'enu Yachol Lachayos Elin Kein Yitol Kegon Zaki Nochol Obal Yisurim Omagis Dait Ve'enu Notel Hareza Shofich Lamin Mischay Benafsho Ve'en Lo Betzaro El Avonos V'Chatayim V'Chol Mi She'tzarich Litol Mitzar Atzmav Dochi Kesh He Pushes It Off. Well, mischayv nafsho means he's chayv for himself. What is that? That's the case. I mean, a person who's old or sick or going through trouble, and he doesn't take money, so he's considered like a shvichas dam. He's like killing himself. Mischayv benafsho, and he's chayv nafsho, and sounds like we wouldn't give him. Right? It's his fault, right? He earns it. So it's his responsibility to get the tzedakah, and we don't have to chase him down to give it. So how does that fit with what we said here? So the distinction that Pesachim Mitzvos gives here, who does he quote it from?
That's an usher. You.
No. I went back to the previous sif, the poor person who doesn't want to get. Oh, okay. So it says we figure out a way to manipulate him getting. Okay. And then in two simanim later, right, it says we let the guy die on his own. So what's the difference? So he quotes here that one zif he doesn't collect because of gaiva, and one zif he doesn't collect because of busha. The case where we trick him is the guy's embarrassed. The case where he should be getting and refuse and we just let him go, that's because he's arrogant. Now, how do you, that's a fine line between busha and gaiva. There's only one letter, right? Busha, gaiva. But that at least that gives some kind of principle as to which to follow. Okay, we have time for one more sif here. Yeah, so Yud Aleph, so Talmud Chacham Chayvim Lasi So Lefi Chvodo. You should give a Talmud Chacham. V'im Eina Rotz L'Kabel Mis'askim L'Schor L'Bo Schor Shekona L'Bo Schor B'Zol V'Kona M'Men L'Schor So B'Yoker. You figure out a way to help him do business. V'im Yodei L'Sasek B'Krakmatiyam L'Avin L'Lo Mo'os L'Schor B'Hem. And if he can be involved in some type of business, so you lend him some money in order that he'll be able to start a business. Fine. Go to Yud Beis, though. I want to finish the simon, okay? So in Yud Beis, however, Mishat Tzarech Lebrios V'Shat Ach Mishat Tzarech Lebrios
Nitzrach.
Oh, it says Nitzrach? Okay, so good. Or it says Shetzarech, but okay. So Tzarech Lebrios. V'shat achar parnasaso, v'nastu lo tzedaka, ein bali chovos yichom lahafbrim yimenu imashe gavav tzedaka. That if somebody needs help, or and they're going after him for his, he has a lot of debts, and you give him tzedaka to pay off the debts, the debtors... The debtors can't take that money which was given to him. Mm-hmm. Somehow he gets some kind of protection from the people that he owes money to coming after him. So if somebody comes back from Vegas and they have large gambling debts, someone can collect that. You can, and you're also poor at that point, so you can take money and still have some, and still somehow be indemnified from paying off your debt. It's not like you're bankrupt and declare bankruptcy and the debts go away. It's just that tzedakah money can't go to the people collecting. How does that work? The idea is because that wasn't what the money was given for. The people giving tzedakah gave it so that you'd be able to have food to eat, not so that it would be able to go to these debtors to which you owe to which you owe money for. So he just adds in at the end here that that might be with regards to like the gambling debts or something of that nature. But if money is collected for a person, they are permitted to pay their gas bill, their phone bill. I mean, that is assumed in the normal range of things that people are giving money for, normal bills, even though technically those are also debts, but as opposed to large debts coming from elsewhere. If the person said explicitly, "I'm giving money in order for you to pay off your debt," so then obviously he'd be able to right to be able to do so. Okay. All right, that's enough.